Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, there's so much in this story, from the impact of that you make in our life to our response to those that got to be your ministers. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find our spot in the story. Lord, help us to see the needs of others. And God, I pray that you'd bless service here tonight. God, that as this story says, that we would walk out praising and glorifying you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get too far into this, I do want to bring up one more name tonight of Teresa Grider. Please be in prayer for her. She had a, I don't know how well to describe this or how much I can divulge, but she had an issue with her medication that really messed some things up for her. And she's in the hospital and they're trying to figure that out. Please pray for her. Pray for her husband, Alan. Pray for Allison. Pray for Lydia. And just all those involved with that. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Sounds like tonight. Here we were getting ready. I don't know what your day was going on. I still have some paint on my hands. We're painting it again. Say, aren't you done with that room? Oh, how I wish. But we're close. We are close. We have running water and electric. And we'll tell you all the adventures of this week. But we're doing stuff up there. And okay, we had a cutoff time stop here. And we're going to go. And Sarah had dinner ready. And we quick ate some food and made our way out. And it's trying to pack the kids into the van. You understand, Brother Rodell, getting them fed in the van at the same time. That's sometimes difficult. And because of how that all goes, that is Peter and John. And they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And here they enter church. Very similar to us. I know it's not church and it's the temple. But they were doing the same thing you were doing. And so if we could for a moment imagine our life and their life. If we could for a moment just kind of follow along your evening and afternoon. And you were busy and you had things. And maybe you got into the vehicle and the minute you turned it on, all of a sudden, bing, the low gas light came on. You weren't expecting that. You timed it perfectly. You were going to walk through the door 2 minutes late, and you know now I'm going to be 8 minutes late, or whatever it is. Or 5 minutes early, and however that goes. Or you couldn't find your favorite pair of shoes, or where's my Bible, or whatever it is. Where are my keys? And just trying to get everybody to a place. You had a thing going. You know, one of our greatest comforts in our life is our schedule. Even if it's a bad schedule. Maybe you hate your job, but it's still a schedule. Every day you get up, you do your thing. I would hate to do something every day that you hate doing, but so be it. We like our schedules. We find comfort in schedules, even if they are hard. That, I feel like, is one of the biggest problems with COVID. It just takes our schedule and just throws it right out the window. Address book or calendar, just right out the window. Doesn't matter. You're going to stop for a couple weeks, maybe even longer. And that's what is... Not to mention the maybe the medical part of the difficulty of the feeling, but also the discomfort in our comfort of our schedule that we're missing out on. But here, Peter and John had a schedule. They woke up that day or whatever it was, about to go into the temple with a purpose of prayer. And we could all agree that as we read this passage, what Peter and John were attempting to do were good things, right things. Very similar to you. getting ready tonight, trying to get on, maybe you change out of your work clothes, get cleaned up, clean shave, whatever it is, and find your dress or whatever it is, ladies, and get your Bible and get ready and out the door and here to church. No time for anything else. No time for anybody else. This is your schedule. This is your pattern. This is what you do. Peter and John are in a similar situation. Please understand, that's where we find them. So when we read this, Peter and John, oh, it's Peter and John, they don't have anything going on. Oh, it's the Rodell family, they don't have anything going on. No, we all have something going on. Their intention was to go to the temple and to pray. Good endeavors, I would say. There's something about being at the right place at the right time. You know, when we make right decisions in our life, it affects every other area of our life. And sometimes we don't see the connection. And I want to help us with this, and I want to help you with this personally. As you make a right decision here, it's amazing how the trickle effect affects over here in our life. So what we may feel like, oh, I want this thing solved, but so many times this thing gets help by just doing right over here. Some of these situations are beyond our control. But doing right over here leads to doing right over here. In our morning devotions today with our staff, we talked about a series of events out of 1 Peter chapter 4, how if we do this, then it leads to this, and then it goes to this. To be given to hospitality, we need to first have charity, and how those all work together. And so it is. Here, Peter and John are endeavoring to go to church or to the temple to pray. A good endeavor. Hey, as you make efforts to assemble your family, as maybe as crazy as that is, or as difficult that is, kids are crying, you're jamming them in the van, locking the door, get in there, you know, we'll do homework when you get home, or whatever it is, maybe you just had a rough day and you just want to put your feet up, whatever it is. If I can encourage you to be at the right place at the right time, it's amazing how God works in ways that we never thought when we're just at the right place at the right time. We've all seen doing wrong will lead to the opposite of that, right? Being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't fall victim to that. But here, Peter and John were at the right place at the right time, endeavoring to do the right thing. But God, we need to remind ourselves, as much as we like to dictate our calendar and our schedule, ought to have complete control over our calendar. My digital calendar, my online calendar, it works out well. Sarah and I share it. Our church staff, we share it. It works out good. I can see what's on the calendar and what's going on and where she's supposed to be or where I'm supposed to be or what Pastor Seatman's supposed to be doing. And we can all see those things, and that's helpful. Hour by hour, broken up by even minutes sometimes. Does God have access to your calendar tonight? Well, I'm busy. I got places to go. I understand that. But every now and then, sometimes, God changes our schedule. He takes us to where we thought we were going, and we were at the right place at the right time, and He takes the situation, and all of a sudden, there's a lame man sitting at our door. All of a sudden, there's a lame man that has a need, the Bible says. Doing right at the right place at the right time leads to right things. And here, Peter and John endeavor to go to the temple to pray. A good endeavor. Number two, we have a miracle in the making. Acts chapter 3 and verse 2 says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple. On the way into the temple is the door or the gate through which they would walk. It has its own name, and every single day, this man's friends, there would be somebody to carry him to the door of the temple for one purpose and one purpose only, to beg. There was no social programs then. Hey, fill this out and we'll support you for the rest of your life. There wasn't that available then. No, they would sit and they would beg. Thankfully, this man had a friend, had a couple friends, And the Bible says this, that they would lay him daily. He was carried daily. What are you doing today? Well, I'm going to first take Bob over to the temple. And then, and every single day there was a commitment on that. And I'm thankful for good friends. Say they took off that day. Say they said, you know what, I don't want to do it today. Well, they had a hand in a miracle. Again, they were just doing right. Never would they have thought that that day would be any different than the hundreds of days previous. But it was. This was a miracle in the making. This was a certain man. He was lame from his mother's womb. Ever look at some of those medical conditions and just go, why, God, why are you, what are you doing here? That was this man. I wonder, say, would God really make a lame man live his whole life for this one moment? Well, if I was God, I wouldn't, but I'm not God. Go with me. Hold your hand in Acts chapter 3. Go with me to John chapter 9. Similar situation. I love this story. John chapter 9, it's a lengthy story. There's a lot of conversation in this story. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Remember, he heals him, and then he tells him to go, and when he comes back, or when he's able to see, Jesus is gone. And they're like, who did this? He's like, I don't know. I was blind, right? I mean, obvious. He's like, well, how'd it happen? He goes, I don't know. All I know was I was blind, but now I see. And why, we look at these situations and go, God, what are you trying to do here? Maybe his whole life was prepared for this moment. Look at now. What we would feel like, we'll just say this guy, we'll make up an age for a man, 45 years old, okay? We'll just say. For 45 years, this man lived with blindness. How about the guy in Acts chapter 3? For 45 years, it said he was a man. I don't know what it is. Whatever that number is. It could be 70, it could be 25. It does not matter. His whole entire life, up to this point, he was lame. You think of that and go, God, that is so awful. That is rough. Why would that happen? Yes, but for the last 2,000 years, his story has been glorifying God. And we look at these things and go, oh, but God, it's just not fair. But we don't know. We don't know what God is doing. I don't know why this man was born lame. We may look at the situation, and much like John chapter 9, was it the sin of his mother or father, or did this man sin? Neither. It was for the glory of God. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus, he says, go to John chapter 11 in verse 4. Remember John, or John chapter 11, when Lazarus dies, it says this, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Why did Lazarus have to die? He didn't have to die. He got to die to glorify God with his life. God did an amazing thing. Oh, this poor man that was lame. This man that was lame glorified God for the last 2,000 years with his story. What are you doing with yours? What are you doing with your story? Is God getting glory from yours? Here, we have a miracle in the making. A lame man from birth. But he got a chance to see God work. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Number one, we saw good endeavors. Number two, we see a miracle in the making. Number three, we see a connection that was made. I want you to pay attention to the wording of this. In verse 3, who sees Peter and John? The lame man, right? There he is. He's sitting there. He can't move, right? He's sitting there. Maybe legs crossed. He's got a little blanket. I don't know. You know, you're just thinking of the typical what you see on the street, right? Maybe a little or a wooden cup, a stone cup, holding it out. He sees Peter and John come by. about to go into the temple and ask the mom an alms. Pretty typical routine, correct? There he sits, waiting and anticipating and hoping. The Bible even says he was anticipating to receive something of them. Sir, can I have a, whatever it is, alms are just a generous kindness. It could be monetary, it could have been food. Because if no one gives him anything, he gets nothing. He sees Peter and John. I want to draw your attention to verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon the man, upon him with John. So there's the difference. See, you and I walk past, we see people, no, people with need see us every single day. And they might not verbally say it, but they're asking for help. The problem is, verse 4, we fail to see them. So again, the lame man sees Peter and John walking into the temple, but the significance of this is Peter sees the lame man. I'm not sure if you ever, I don't know how to maybe verbalize this, but there is a connection between two people when you make eye contact. There is for a moment a sharing of view. And that's what happened to Peter. For a moment, he saw the lame man. And the Bible says, fastening his eyes upon him, what he saw affected him. And each and every day I wonder as we walk past, you know, Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth my heart. And I wonder what we walk by every single day. Although the lame man sees us, do we see him? Say, I don't think I walked past anybody sitting there asking. If there was someone outside of the church sitting there with a cup, I would have tossed something in. I think there's more significance than that in our daily life. I think we have to understand the need. No, you might not have walked by anybody that was lame physically, but maybe spiritually. Let me ask you this question. What have you looked over this week? Who have you looked past this week? As you went about your schedule, could the Lord just for a moment scroll up to 5:30, 6:30, meeting, Walmart worker, meeting, whoever that may be, and just change your schedule for a moment. They were planning on going into the temple and praying. And God, for a moment, changed Peter's schedule. Could you imagine, as you were driving past here, imagine coming to church tonight, and there you were, and you're driving, and there's a guy with a flat tire on the side of the road. What would you have done? I would have slowed down, went around. Why? Because I got a schedule. I'm not saying everybody's need is your problem. But could we be open enough to allow God to change our schedule when circumstances like this happen? The Bible says Peter's about to make him an offer of a lifetime. He thought he was going to get something, silver, gold, food. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 5, and Peter fastening, or 3, 4 says this, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him, with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter says, hey, look at me for a second. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. Pay attention to me. Of course I'm going to pay attention to you. I'll listen to whatever you have to say. You're about to give me what I want, right? Peter has some sorrowful news. First, he's like, I got no gold. I got no money. This man's like, oh, right? I got something so much better. Hey, you may walk around thinking, I got no money to help anybody. But you got something so much better. You have the Lord Jesus Christ inside of your heart. You're able to meet someone's real need. Real need. Not just to help them for a moment, not to just get them a burger, and I think that's good, and there's a provision for that in the Bible about that. I think that's important. As much as you have opportunity. But there might be more here. Let's read 7 through 8 again. And took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What a change. I want to remind you, the greatest thing that you could offer somebody is the gift of Jesus Christ. I understand here this lame man was given strength. But without Christ, you are strengthless. You are weak. Jesus Christ is the strength that every person needs. Look at this now. In verse 9, it says this, and all the people saw him walking and taking credit for all that had happened. No, he was praising the Lord. What a change of testimony. And I ask about you, there's so many characters here. We could identify with Peter. Lord, help me to see people how you see people. Lord, help me to not get so, and this probably is the majority of us, help me to not get so caught up in my schedule that I fail to recognize what really matters. Souls on this earth. Maybe you're like the lame man. Just needing somebody to come by and help you out. Maybe you are the lame man who then, after having been helped, needs to testify of those things. Hey, God's been good to me, changed my life. When was the last time someone heard your story? When was the last time someone saw you walking and praising God? What's your testimony amongst those around you? This was a testimony of a changed life. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing what happened there with Peter and John. And there they were. They were just walking into the temple, going to prayer meeting, kind of similar, and God changed their schedule, and they just did what God... And there was a lame man that is now walking. That is the beginning of what happens here. So much so that this man goes out, and we'll conclude the story here, but think about the potential, kind of like Peter walking on the water. The potential for just one step of faith is incalculable. Peter and John just were going to pray. They were just going to talk to the Lord a little bit. Just doing right. Being faithful and doing right. And with one interaction, I don't know what came over Peter to think that he could heal somebody. But maybe somewhere inside of you, you get a little boldness to share the gospel and someone takes it. Who knows what that rolls out to be? Because this guy goes out and he's screaming and yelling, praising God, and a whole group of people come. And by Acts chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 4 that there were 5,000 that trusted Christ that day because of the preaching of Peter, because the amount of people that came to see what had happened. See, all that's connected just by Peter and John changing their schedule for a moment. See, that stuff happened. And I'm just wondering if God got a hold of our calendar and we just gave it to him and said, God, here's my plans, but feel free to change it any way you wish, anytime, however you want, and help me to see that. And not be bothered by it. Peter and John missed out on prayer meeting that day. You're saying to skip church for the opportunity? If the Holy Spirit of God does something like this in your life, absolutely. Be faithful in doing right. You have no idea what what impact that may have down the road. Doing right leads to right things. Doing wrong will never lead to right things. It will not. It won't. The results will be incalculable. May we be a testimony of a changed life. May we be like Peter and John, allowing God to change our schedule. Let's all stand. To me, that's a powerful passage. There's so much in there. There's so many characters. There's so much going on, and the results are immeasurable. Just a moment of faith, just a moment of obedience. What could God do with you and I for just a moment of that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for safety. Thank you for the lights being on, the heat on here. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can go to it and study it and make application from it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Pray that you would help us to see ourselves in this. Lord, that we too would just allow you to change our daily schedule for your honor and glory. May our life be one walking and praising you for the great change that you've made in us. God, we'll be quick to get out of the way and just allow you to work. Lord, help us. Help us to be faithful in the little things. Lord, watch over us, protect us as we travel home now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Have a good night.